Book 10, Canto 4, The Dream Twilight of the Earthly Real. There came a slope that slowly downward sank. It slipped towards a stumbling grey descent, the dim heart marvel of the ideal was lost. Its crowding wonder of bright, delicate dreams and vague half-limbed sublimities she had lived. Thought fell towards lower levels. Hard and tense, it passioned for some crude reality. The twilight floated still, but changed its hues and heavily swathed a less delightful dream. It settled in tired masses on the air. Its symbol colors turned, tuned with duller reds, and almost seemed a lurid mist of day. A straining taut and dire besieged her heart, heavy her sense grew with a dangerous load, and sadder, greater sounds were in her ears, and through stern breakings of the lambent glare, her vision caught a hurry of driving planes and cloudy mountains and wide tawny streams and cities climbed in minarets and towers towards an unavailing, changeless sky. Long quays and ghats and harbors white with sails challenged the sight a while and then were gone. Amidst them travailed toiling multitudes in ever-shifting perishable groups, a foiled cinema of lit shadowy shapes, enveloped in the grey mantle of a dream, imagining meanings in life's heavy drift. They trusted in the uncertain environment and waited for death to change their spirit's scene. A savage din of labor and a tramp of armored life and the monotonous hum of thoughts and acts that ever were the same, as if the dull reiterated drone of a great brute machine beset her soul. A grey, dissatisfied rumour, like a ghost of the moaning of a loud, unquiet sea. A huge, inhuman, cyclopean voice. A Babel builder's song, towering to heaven. A throb of engines and the clang of tools brought the deep undertone of labour's pain. As when pale lightnings tear a tortured sky, high overhead a cloud-rimmed series flared, chasing like smoke from a red funnel driven, the forced creations of an ignorant mind. Drifting she saw, like pictured fragments flee, phantoms of human thought and baffled hopes, the shapes of nature and the arts of man, philosophies and disciplines and laws and the dead spirit of old societies, constructions of the Titan and the worm. As if lost remnants of forgotten light, before our mind they are fled with trailing wings, dimmed revelations and delivering words, emptied of their mission and their strength to save. The messages of the evangelist gods, voices of prophets, scripts of vanishing creeds, each in its hour eternal claimed, went by. Ideals, systems, sciences, poems, crafts, tireless there perished, and again record, sought restlessly by some creative power. But all were dreams, crossing an empty vast. Ascetic voices called of lonely seers, on mountain summits, or on river banks, or from the desolate heart of forest glades, seeking heaven's rest or the spirit's worthless peace, or in bodies motionless like statues, fixed in tranced cessation of their sleepless thought, sad sleeping souls. And this too was a dream. All things the past has made and slain were there, its lost, forgotten forms that once had lived, and all the present loves as new revealed, and all the hopes the future brings had failed already, caught and spent in efforts vain, repeated fruitlessly age after age. Unwearied, all return, insisting still, because of joy in the anguish of pursuit, and joy to labor and to win and lose, and joy to create and keep, and joy to kill. The rolling cycles passed and came again, brought the same toils and the same barren end, forms ever new and ever old, the long, appalling revolutions of the world. Once more arose the great destroying voice across the fruitless labor of the worlds, his huge denials, all defeating might, pursued the ignorant march of dolorous time. Behold the figures of this symbol realm, its solid outlines of creative dream, inspiring the great concrete tasks of earth. In its motion parable of human life, here thou canst trace the outcome nature gives to the sin of being and the error in things and the desire that compels to live and man's incurable malady of hope. In an immutable order's hierarchy, where nature changes not, man cannot change. Ever he obeys her fixed mutation's law. In a new version of our oft-told tale, in ever-wheeling cycles, turns the race. His mind is pent in circling boundaries, for mind is man. Beyond thought he cannot soar. If he could leave his limits, he would be safe. He sees but cannot mount to his greater heavens. Even winged, he sinks back to his native soil. He is a captive in his net of mind and beats soul wings against the walls of life. In vain his heart lifts up its yearning prayer. Peopling with brilliant gods, the formless void. Then, disappointed to the void, he turns. And in its happy nothingness asks release, the calm nirvana of his dream of self. The word in silence ends, in not the name. Apart, amid the mortal multitudes, he calls the Godhead incommunicable to be the lover of his lonely soul, or casts his spirit into its void embrace, or he finds his copy in the impartial all. He imparts to the immobile his own will, attributes to the eternal wrath and love, and to the ineffable lends 1,000 names. Hope not to call God down into his life. How shall man bring the everlasting here? There is no house for him in hurrying time. Vainly thou seekest in matter's world an aim. No aim is there, only a will to be. All walk by nature, bound forever the same. Look on these forms that stay a while and pass, these lives that long and strive, then are no more. These structures that have no abiding truth, the Savior creeds that cannot save themselves, but perish in the strangling hands of the years, discarded from man's thought, proved false by time, philosophies that strip all problems bare, but nothing ever have solved since earth began, and sciences omnipotent in vain, by which men learn of what the suns are made, transform all forms to serve their outward needs, ride through the sky and sail beneath the sea, but learn not what they are or why they came. These polities, architectures of man's brain, that bricked with evil and good, wall in man's spirit, and fissured houses, palace at once and jail, rot while they rain and crumble before they crash. These revolutions, demon or drunken god, convulsing the wounded body of mankind, only to paint in new colors an old face. These wars, carnage triumphant, ruin gone mad, the work of centuries vanishing in an hour, the blood of the vanquished and the victor's crown, which men to be born must pay for with their pain. The hero's face divine on satyr's limbs, the demon's grandeur mixed with the demigods, the glory and the beasthood and the shame. Why is it all the labor and the din, the transient joys, the timeless sea of tears, the longing and the hoping and the cry, the battle and the victory and the fall, the aimless journey that can never pause, the waking toil, the incoherent sleep, song, shouts and weeping, wisdom and idle words, the laughter of man, the irony of the gods. Where leads the march? Whither the pilgrimage? Who keeps the map of the route, or planned each stage? Or else self-moved, the world walks its own way, or nothing is there but only a mind that dreams. The world is a myth that happened to come true, a legend told to itself by conscious mind, imaged and played on a feigned matter's ground, on which it stands in an unsubstantial vast. Mind is the author, spectator, actor, stage. Mind only is, and what it thinks is seen. If mind is all, renounce the hope of bliss. If mind is all, renounce the hope of truth. For mind can never touch the body of truth. And mind can never see the soul of God. Only his shadow it grasps, nor hears his love, as it turns from him to the vain seeming of things. Mind is a tissue woven of light and shade, where right and wrong have sown their mingled parts. Our mind is nature's marriage of covenants, between truth and falsehood, between joy and pain. This struggling pair, no court can separate. Each thought is a gold coin with bright alloy, and error and truth are its obverse and reverse. This is the imperial mintage of the brain, and of this kind is all its currency. Think not to plant on earth the living truth, or make of matter's world the home of God. Truth comes not there, but only the thought of truth. God is not there, but only the name of God. If self there is, it is bodiless and unborn. It is no one, and it is possessed by none. On what shall thou then build thy happy world? Cast off thy life and mine, then art thou self, an all-seeing omnipresence, stark alone. If God there is, he cares not for the world. All things he sees with calm, indifferent gaze. He has doomed all hearts to sorrow and desire. He has bound all life with his implacable laws. He answers not the ignorant voice of prayer. Eternal, while the ages toil beneath, unmoved, untouched by aught that he has made, he sees as minute details meet the stars, the animal's agony, and the fate of man. Immeasurably wise, he exceeds thy thought. His solitary joy needs not thy love. His truth in human thinking cannot dwell. If thou desirest truth, then still thy mind forever, slain by the dumb, unseen light. Immortal bliss lives not in human air. How shall the mighty mother her calm delight keep fragrant in this narrow, fragile vase, or lodge a sweet, unbroken ecstasy in hearts which earthly sorrow can assail, and bodies careless death can slay at will? Dream not to change the world that God has planned. Strive not to alter his eternal law. If heavens there are whose gates are shut to grief, there seek the joy thou couldst not find on earth, or in the imperishable hemisphere where light is native and delight is king and spirit is the deathless ground of things. Choose thy high station, child of eternity. If thou art spirit and nature is thy robe, cast off thy garb and be thy naked self, immutable in its undying truth, alone forever, in the mute alone. Turn then to God. For Him, leave all behind. Forgetting love, forgetting Satyavan, annul thyself in His immobile peace. O soul, drown in still beatitude, for thou must die to thyself to reach God's height. I, death, am the gate of immortality. But Savitri answered to the sophist God, once more wilt thou call light to blind truth's eyes, make knowledge a catch of the snare of ignorance, and the word a dart to slay my living soul? Offer, O King, thy boons to tired spirits and hearts that could not bear the wounds of time. Let those who are tied to body and to mind tear off those bonds and flee into white calm, crying for a refuge from the play of God. Surely thy boons are great, since thou art He. But how shall I seek rest in endless peace, who house the mighty mother's violent force? Our vision turned to read the enigma world. Our will tempered in the blaze of wisdom's sun, and the flaming silence of our heart of love. The world is a spiritual paradox, invented by a need in the unseen, a poor translation to the creature's sense of that which forever exceeds idea and speech, a symbol of what can never be symbolized, a language mispronounced, misspelled, yet true. Its powers have come from the eternal heights and plunged into the inconstant, dim abyss, and risen from it to do their marvelous work. The soul is a figure of the unmanifest. The mind labors to think the unthinkable, the life to call the immortal into birth, the body to enshrine the illimitable. The world is not cut off from truth and God. In vain thou hast dug the dark unbridgeable gulf. In vain thou hast built the blind and doorless wall. Man's soul crosses through thee to paradise. Heaven's sun forces its way through death and night. Its light is seen upon our being's verge. My mind is a torch lit from the eternal sun. My life a breath drawn by the immortal guest. My mortal body is the eternal's house. Already the torch becomes the undying ray. Already the life is the immortal's force. The house grows of the householder part and one. How sayest thou truth can never light the human mind, and bliss can never invade the mortal's heart, or God descend into the world He made? If in the meaningless void creation rose, if from a bodiless force matter was born, if life could climb in the unconscious tree, if green delight break into emerald leaves, and its laughter of beauty blossom in the flower, if sense could wake in tissue, nerve and cell, and thought sees the grey matter of the brain, and soul peep from its secrecy through the flesh. How shall the nameless light not leap on men, and unknown powers emerge from nature's sleep? Even now, hints of a luminous truth like stars arise in the mind moon's splendor of ignorance. Even now, the deathless lover's touch we feel. If the chamber's door is even a little ajar, what then can hinder God from stealing in, or who forbid his kiss on the sleeping soul? Already God is near. The truth is close. Because the dark atheist body knows him not, must the sage deny the light, the seer his soul? I am not bound by thought or sense or shape. I live in the glory of the infinite. I am near to the nameless and unknowable. The ineffable is now my household mate. But standing on eternity's luminous brink, I have discovered that the world was He. I have met spirit with spirit, self with self, but I have loved too the body of my God. I have pursued him in his earthly form. A lonely freedom cannot satisfy a heart that has grown one with every heart. I am a deputy of the aspiring world. My spirit's liberty I ask for all. Then rang again a deeper cry of death, as if beneath its weight of sterile law, oppressed by its own obstinate, meaningless will, disdainful, weary, and compassionate, it kept no more its old intolerant sound, but seemed like life's in our unnumbered paths, toiling forever and achieving naught. Because of birth and change, her mortal powers, by which she lasts, around the term post fixed, turning of a wide circling aimless race, whose course forever speeds and is the same. In its long play with fate and chance and time, assured of the game's vanity, lost or won, crushed by its load of ignorance and doubt, which knowledge seems to increase and growth to enlarge, the earth mind sinks and it despairs and looks old, weary, and discouraged on its work. Yet was all nothing then, or vainly achieved. Some great thing has been done, some light, some power, delivered from the huge inconstant's grasp. It has emerged from night, it sees its dawns, circling forever, though no dawn can stay. This change was in the Godhead's far-flung voice. His form of dread was altered and admitted our transient effort at eternity. Yet flung vast doubts of what might else have been, on grandiose hints of an impossible day. The great voice surging cried to Savitri, "Because thou knowest the wisdom that transcends both veil of forms and the contempt of forms, arise, delivered by the seeing gods. If free thou hast kept thy mind from life's fierce stress, thou mightst have been like them, omniscient, calm. But the violent and passionate heart forbids. It is the storm bird of an anarch power that would upheave the world and tear from it the indecipherable scroll of fate, death's rule and law, and the unknowable will. Hasten us to action, violators of God, are these great spirits who have too much love, and they who form like thee, for both art thou, have come into the narrow bounds of life with two large natures overleaping time. Worshippers of force who know not her recoil, their giant wills compel the troubled ears. The wise are tranquil, silent the great hills, rise ceaselessly towards their unreached sky. Seated on their unchanging base, their heads dreamless in heaven's immutable domain. On their aspiring tops, sublime and still, lifting halfway to heaven the climbing soul, the mighty mediators stand content to watch the revolutions of the stars. Motionlessly moving with the might of earth, they see the ages pass and are the same. The wise think with the cycles. They hear the tread of far-off things, patient, unmoved, they keep their dangerous wisdom in their depths restrained, lest man's frail days into the unknown should sink, dragged like a ship by bound Leviathan into the abyss of his stupendous seas. Lo, how all shakes when the gods tread too near. All moves, is in peril, anguish, torn, upheaved. The hurrying aeons would stumble on too swift if strength from heaven surprised the imperfect earth and veilless knowledge smote these unfit souls. The deities have screened their dreadful power. God hides his thought, and even he seems to err. Be still and tardy in the slow, wise world. Mighty art thou with the dread goddess filled, to whom thou criedst at dawn in the dim woods. Use not thy strength like the wild titan souls. Touch not the seated lines, the ancient laws. Respect the calm of great established things." But Savitri replied to the huge god, "What is the calm thou wantest, O law, O death? Is it not the dull vision tread inert of monstrous energies, chained in a star ground, soulless and stone-eyed, with mechanic dreams? Vain the soul's hope if changeless law is all. Ever to the new and the unknown, press on the speeding eons, justifying God. What were Earth's ages if the grey restraint were never broken and glories sprang not forth, bursting their obscure seed, while man's slow life leaped hurried into certain splendid paths by divine words and human gods revealed? Impose not upon sentient minds and hearts the dull fixity that binds inanimate things. Well is the unconscious rule for the animal breeds, content to live beneath the immutable yoke. Man turns to a nobler walk, a master path. I trample on thy law with living feet. For to arise in freedom I was born. If I am mighty, let my force be unveiled. Equal companion of the dateless powers, or else let my frustrated soul sink down unworthy of Godhead in the original sleep. I claim from time my will's eternity, God from his moments. Death replied to her, why should the noble and immortal will stoop to the petty works of transient earth? Freedom forgotten and the eternal spark? Or is this the high use of strength and thought to struggle with the bonds of death and time and spend the labor that might earn the gods and battle and bear agony of wounds to grasp the trivial joys that earth can guard in a small treasure chest of passing things? Child, hast thou trodden the gods beneath thy feet only to win poor shreds of earthly life? For him thou lovest, cancelling the grand release, keeping from early rapture of the heavens his soul, the lenient deities have called. Are thy arms sweeter than the courts of God? She answered, straight I trample on the road, the strong hand hewed for me, which planned our paths. I run where his sweet, dreadful voice commands, and I am driven by the reins of God. Why drew he wide his scheme of mighty worlds, or filled infinity with his passionate breath? Or wherefore did he build my mortal form and sow in me his bright and proud desires, if not to achieve, to flower in me, to love, carving his human image richly shaped in thoughts and largenesses and golden powers? Far heaven can wait our coming in its calm. Easy the heavens were to build for God. Earth was his difficult matter. Earth the glory, babe of the problem and the race and strife. There are the ominous masks, the terrible powers. There it is greatness to create the gods. Is not the spirit immortal and absorbed always delivered from the grasp of time, why came it down into the mortal space? A charge he gave to his high spirit in man, and wrote a hidden decree on nature's tops. Freedom is this, with ever-seated soul, large in life's limits, strong in matter's knots, building great stuff of action from the worlds, to make fine wisdom from coarse scattered strands, and love and beauty out of war and night, the wager wonderful, the game divine. What liberty has the soul which feels not free, unless stripped bare and cannot kiss the bonds? The lover winds around his playmate's limbs, choosing his tyranny, crushed in his embrace. To seize him better, with her boundless heart, she accepts the limiting circle of his arms. Bows full of bliss beneath his mastering hand, and laughs in his rich constraints, most bound, most free. This is my answer to thy lures, O death.